Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to another edition of the BTSC Sunday broadcast, We Run the North. I'm your host, guest contributor to the BTSC podcast, Kevin Tate, host of the Know It All podcast. And with me, per usual most of the times, we got Brandon, a.k.a. the homie B-Dirt, a.k.a. Super Bengals fan. So, you know, today we're going to be talking about the AFC North defenses. We're going to give you our takes on the defense as far as how we rank them, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the division, Brandon and myself. Then we'll get into the depth chart on the defenses and talk about some of those units' best players for each team. So to not waste any time, let's get started. B-Dirt, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on as usual. I've been here in Pittsburgh enjoying the holiday weekend, beautiful weather around here. Sun's been out, a lot of grilling, a lot of fireworks. And Pittsburgh does fireworks seriously well.
Okay.
I'll let you know that.
I've never been in Pittsburgh for the 4th of July.
It's a Zambelli fireworks fanatic, man. They're everywhere.
Really? Okay. And you guys got all those hills up there too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I visited you in Pittsburgh a few years back. We went to a Steelers Bengals game together and your house at the time, I think you live in a different place now, but way at the top of a huge hill.
Yeah, I was about 3/4 of the way up the hill. I saw several car wrecks on that hill. Every winter, they would slide down that hill and pile up at the base of it. But, yeah, it's that actually was in Beachview. If you remember back a few years ago, they had an Audi commercial where they were skiing down and the Audi was driving down and up the hill. It was actually in that neighborhood. That neighborhood has the steepest public street in the world.
Really?
Yep.
And you lived on that street, I thought.
I lived adjacent to it. I was close. I was very close.
And I feel like it wasn't too far from Heinz Field.
No, I was only a couple miles right over the West End Bridge there at Beachview. Yeah. Now I live the opposite way. I live up 28. So, I'm still 3 miles from the North Shore downtown. So,
okay, I remember we Ubered to the game.
Yeah,
it was a good time. If I remember right, the Steelers won.
That's correct. That is correct. Steelers won. It rained most of the day, and I was only in a t-shirt.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, you had a t-shirt starting some trouble that day. You had a t-shirt that said free Vontaze Burfict.
It just said free Burfict, real big orange block letters. Yeah, that's right. I had a lot of Steelers fans and Bengals fans alike stop me for pictures that day. Everybody thought it was funny. Not a proponent of what Vontaze Burfict did. he was probably my least favorite player on that team. But funny.
You like Vontaze Burfict if he's on your team, though.
You do until you start hearing stuff about him in the pile, taking, you know, running back's ankle at OTAs and trying to break his ankle and spinning in the pile and getting fired.
And OTAs like, against his own dudes?
Against his own dudes. That was the backup running back from North Carolina that went to Tampa the year they won the Super Bowl. Bernard.
Yeah,
Gio Bernard. That was, yeah, he started a fight with Gio Bernard, who was notoriously one of the nicest people in the NFL.
What's up, George? Thanks for joining us again this week, man.
Free him from jail.
But, yeah, man, so... And you know, but I don't want to say we've had players like Vontaze Burfict, but you have those guys that live on the edge. I mean, we've had our Debo, James Harrisons, and Joey Porters.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, so I mean, I get it, but yeah, you should never intentionally try and hurt somebody with a dirty play if it's within the rules of the game and you just lay good wood to somebody,
especially at camp.
Yeah, especially at camp. I get why you don't like him. He's trying to hurt your own guys.
Yeah, one of the nicest guys on our team.
It seems like Burfict may have had some type of issues or something when you're turning on your own guys like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, so going into this year, B-Dirt, we're talking about the AFC North defenses, man. And in the live chat, you guys let us know what you think, too. But, man, what like how do you see these defenses? How do you have them ranked 1 through 4?
Ranking them 1 through 4, and you know, I did some thought about this after we talked about it, because it really last year was an odd year. You know, there's a lot of injuries every year in the NFL, but last year I think more so to some really key contributors on some of these defenses. So I kind of took that in mind. And I've got the Ravens first. I've got the Steelers second. I got the Browns third. And I've got my Bengals fourth. Now, all that said, I don't think there's a bad defense in the bunch. I think we come to play every week. I play that traditional AFC North, you know, tough defense, hard-nosed. So I like the defenses in our conference almost as much as I do the quarterbacks in our conference. So
you talk AFC conference. You talking about our division?
Our division, excuse me, our division. I think our division's the most hard nosed division in our conference is what I was trying to say there. But so I that's why I got us coming in fourth. But I think that Ravens and Steelers are 1-2, and I think they'll probably separate themselves a little bit from that 3-4.
Okay. Well, I have them ranked, and I'm trying to be not biased, so unbiased, but I have the Steelers 1. And we'll definitely talk about all this stuff, why we see it like the way we see it, and talk about the players and the defensive units and stuff. But I have the Steelers 1, the Browns 2, the Ravens 3, and the Bengals 4. So our 4 is the same. Your 1 is my 3, and your 3 is my 2. Yep. My 2 is your 1. That's confusing, but we know how we look at it.
Yep.
But so let's jump in and talk about – well, first let me look at the live chat, see if anybody has anything to add. Check out what Josh Parker said. What do you think about this?
Have I ever told you my story about being alone in a vestibule with James Harrison?
What happened?
Me and my buddy went to a game the 1 year that he played in Cincinnati. My buddy lived in a apartment complex – in between the baseball and football stadium. And he was having a party there. And we got down early. And I went with my buddy from here, Sean Robb. Shout out to Sean Robb out from the White Oak area. But Sean was wearing his James Harrison Steelers jersey. And, of course, I went out and immediately got one in a Bengals uniform as soon as he came to our side. And I was wearing the James Harrison Bengals jersey. I walked into this vestibule to get buzzed up to my buddy's apartment, and there was James Harrison. And
wow,
my buddy Sean's like, "Hey, check it out! We're both wearing your jerseys." And this guy was looking at his phone, and he looked up and went, and went back down to his phone. And my buddy kept trying to talk to him, and he was having none of it. And I have never, I mean, I'm 6'3", 260. I'm pretty comfortable around most human beings. I was not comfortable in that vestibule anymore. I was buzzing my buddy. I was texting him, calling him, like, "Come on, man, let us up. I can't be in this box with this human being anymore. This guy's going to kill us." That was my James Harrison story.
So he wasn't a nice guy?
He was. It was before a game. It was the morning of a Sunday 1 o'clock game. Like, he wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, he's got game face on. I wasn't a nice guy on game day either. And I played, you know, Division 75 college baseball. So I didn't expect him to be nice.
Right.
You know, he's getting ready for the game. He was right, going to the stadium.
Okay. I mean, makes sense. I actually met, nothing to do with defense, I actually met Franco Harris. I was at the Obama's first inauguration, mm-hmm, back in January of 2009. Really, really, really cold out there that day. And, you know, they have those rails up to keep people in a systematic line so they're not, yeah, spreading all over the place. I get a tap on my back. Guy says, "Hey, man," he was trying to jump over the rail. "Help me jump over this rail." I turn around. It's Franco Harris tapped me on the back to ask for help to get over the rail. I was like, you know, I'm a fanboy then.
Yeah.
Franco, it's Franco Harris. Show my wife and everything. Get my old uncle, shout out my Uncle Tommy, you know, in Lima, Ohio. He was there to take a picture of me and Franco. Great. Took a picture, but he's going to send it to me when we got home. Once we got by the time we got home, he accidentally deleted the picture off his phone.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't go, "Follow me. I'm a lead blocker," and just take off through the crowd. I got this.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of people out there that day. Maybe Pouncey or Mike Webster wanted to see the
there you go.
I don't think I could have done it. But, yeah, man, so let's talk about first. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns defense, man, because I have them second. You have them third. They have a lot of projections have them being a really good defense. Well, I think all the defenses in the North are projected to be probably in the top half of the league. But talk about the Browns, man. I mean – these are the projected stars. We're going off the ESPN projected depth chart.
I mean, obviously starting in with Myles Garrett, right?
Why don't you go ahead and just read down the positions and the players who they project to start. Then we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about.
All right, DN Myles Garrett. We've got tackle Jordan Elliott, tackle Taven Bryan, DN Jadeveon Clowney. Then you've got the weak side linebacker, Jemiah Owusu. I'm going to mess that one up. Cormo. Anthony Walker, middle linebacker. Then we've got Sayon. I don't know that guy.
Taki.
Denzel Ward, Grant Delpit, John Johnson, and Greg Newsom in the backfield.
Okay, so that's the projected depth start. The defensive coordinator is John Wood. He's the Bengals defensive coordinator. He's been the defensive coordinator since 2020. They run their base scheme is a 4-3. And I think to start any conversation about the Bengals defense, I think we're in agreement that we start with the same guy, right?
Browns defense. Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the Browns defense. Yeah.
Myles Garrett, without a doubt. I think when we were talking about best players on a team, it's Myles Garrett, hands down. But I do want to give an honorable mention out there to Denzel Ward. I didn't know. I was kind of negative on him coming out of Ohio State. I wasn't sure because Eli Apple's kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, and that was before he was a Bengal. So I wasn't sure what to expect, but he's been a great cornerback for him. Shutdown guy. So I like him a lot.
You can't let Eli Apple taint you like that, man. You got the kid in New Orleans. Who am I talking about? The cornerback in New Orleans. He just got big money.
Oh. From Ohio State?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one of your guys. You should know that.
I should know that. And only when we get on here and doing a live podcast do I draw blanks. Other than that.
Yeah. Well, it's when we go a little bit too far off the beaten path, too. But I think they're unsung heroes. I mean, I think in their secondary, along with Ward, Greg Newsom, kid out of Northwestern's done a fantastic job, and John Johnson, I think, is very solid player.
With the acclimation process, John Johnson was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
For the Rams.
Yeah. And was kind of their leader on that team before he left, even with Aaron Donald there, too. So I really like those guys. I think the wild cards are, to me, what can they get from that other defensive end position? You know, Clowney really didn't get to the quarterback last year. And now they brought in also Chase Vinovich, which is one of my Michigan guys, but who's very much underachieved. So far, you know, for the Patriots, it seems like it's been more about his hair than his play on the field, which is never a good thing. We got Lattimore over here in the comments.
Which one?
Lattimore over here in the comments from Saints.
Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lattimore. Thank you.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Thank you, Shaquille Gregory. That's what I was – yeah, Marshawn Lattimore. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
But yeah, that's you know, I think they need to get out of that opposing defensive end position. I think they need to get around, 12 sacks for the year. And I don't know if they'll do it.
From opposite of Garrett, they need to get 12 sacks?
If they're going to roll somebody, they're going to always chip to his side, right? So if there's an extra H-back, tight end, tailback, whatever it might be, they're going to roll it to his side. So there's always going to be someone chipping him. Somebody from that other side's got to get home. You know, two out of three games, somebody's got to get home once, right? That's the way I look at it. I think they need to get some production out of that other defensive end spot. And I'm not buying it. I agree with Josh Parker over here. I think Clowney has been overrated. I don't know those numbers from last year, but he only had, a couple sacks.
Clowney last year?
Yeah.
Let me look that up.
I think they really need to get some – I think they have solid linebacker play. I think they have really good defensive –
He had 9 sacks last year.
Did he have 9?
Yeah.
So that's surprising to me. I didn't think he had that many, but I think they need to get more out of that defensive end. I think he's sliding the other way. So I think they need to get 12, 13 sacks out of that side.
Well, they paid to bring him back. I don't know if he got really big money, maybe like $8 or $9 million a year, if I remember. It was a few weeks back. But they got him to come back, and I agree. I mean, Myles Garrett is always in contention for defensive player of the year.
Man, he just wrecks things.
He wrecks things. He's a beast. But I don't know why he's missing. I mean, T.J. Watt is better in my opinion. But if a lot of guys had the motor that T.J. Watt has, I mean, if you had T.J. Watt's motor and work ethic in Myles Garrett's body, oh my gosh.
Well, I think Myles Garrett's work ethic is
up. No, there. I think he's a workout freak. I mean, just the motor
on the field.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, so let me chime in as far as we both agree about Myles Garrett being the best player. I think Jadeveon Clowney is serviceable, but I think we just look at him with such high expectations because of the hit he laid on your boy in college. Oof. Denard Robinson, right? That's what it was.
No, that was Smith, the halfback.
He hit the quarterback. Shoestrings, whatever they called him. It was shoestring.
It was a handoff. It was number two. It was a halfback.
Hey, man, I'm going to talk about this. You go ahead and you look that up and then you apologize to me. But I think the linebacker, if he's healthy this year, rookie last year, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame. He's a small linebacker, but he's really good. I think he can be a difference maker because he's a poor man's Ryan Shazier.
All right, so the guy is number two halfback.
I was wrong.
Oh, can we get it in there? Can I get it in?
I see it. My bad, man. I guess I was wrong.
They handed it off, and that dude got smashed.
Hey, Rob, I want you to come back to this when we're done talking about towards the end.
I remember it because I thought he was going to take the handoffs from.
Yeah, no, I did too. I thought it was Robinson though, but I want to come back to that at the end. What Trevor?
I'll make a note.
Trevor Follinsby. What's your thoughts on Kenny Pickett? But yeah, Jeremiah Okusamora, I like him a lot. I actually want us to draft him last year. We took Najee. I think that's probably a better pick. But last year's draft, I wanted that guy for our defense. It just as a chess piece. He's like, you know, I was thinking him and Devin Bush together. But really, I think the Browns secondary is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denzel Ward, you mentioned him, is a Pro Bowler. You got John Johnson when he was with the Rams was a Pro Bowler. And you got strong safety Grant Delpit coming back. He's never been healthy. I think this will be his third year, but he hasn't been healthy in his first 2 years. If he comes back healthy, he was a college All-American at LSU. And then the other corner, Greg Newsom, the second, he was an All-American out of Northwestern. So they got a lot of talent back there on the back end.
Yeah.
Not to mention the backups. They have Greedy Williams, who was an All-American at LSU. Ronnie Harrison Jr., who was the safety with Minka Fitzpatrick at Alabama. Really good. 6'3", probably 210, 215. Big guy. And they drafted a guy, Martin Emerson, this year, cornerback out of Mississippi State. I think that kid's like 4'3", 5'40", really fast, probably like 6'2", 6'3", corner. So they got a lot of good depth back there in that defensive secondary. So I really like their secondary. If I was ranking secondaries in a division, I might put the Browns first or second. Maybe Baltimore might be first or second too. I'd have to look at the depth chart and go through it. But, yeah.
We're going to talk about that later because I would put the Ravens first. But I think the Browns are really strong. And when you look at it in our division period, you're going to see this is a recurring theme. Their head coach is a defensive backs guy. So I think he puts a primary on that position. I think there's a lot of growing depth there. And there's a lot. If you look at those guys.
He is a defensive backs guy?
Their defensive coordinator. Head coach. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Their defensive coordinator is a defensive backs guy.
Right.
No, Stefanski's an offensive guy. But when you look at those guys, like, there's a lot of defensive coordinators that came from defensive backs in our division, and they're never – they play really sound football.
Mm-hmm.
They're high IQ guys too.
Right. So, I don't know. The Browns, I think, like you said, I think every team in the division has a better than average defense. I think when we get into these games this year, these divisional games, we're going to see some real tough battles.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, every potential matchup, whether it's the Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Ravens, you know, it's going to be a heck of a matchup every week. It's going to be physical. So, all right, well, that's pretty much about the Browns. You got any players you think, well, any players you think will make the Pro Bowl or have a big year? Any breakout players, anything?
Greg Newsom would be my pick on that defense. If you asked me to pick somebody I thought would have a breakout year, yeah. I think it'd be him. It's hard to pick because the rest of them that are on there that I could see doing it have already been there. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I like Greg, and I think that's a good pick. Now, Myles Garrett, obviously, I think is Denzel Ward potentially too. Again, Pro Bowlers on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I like, since you took Newsom, I'd say JOK, Jeremiah Okusumora, will be my potential breakout player if he stays healthy. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Ravens real quick. Baltimore Ravens defense. Let's see. I'll go ahead and read this down real quick. They run a 3-4 base scheme. Their left defensive end is Justin. Ooh, Baltimore has some tough names on here.
Yes, they do. I'm glad you picked that one.
Matabuki, nose tackle Michael Pierce, back and for another year, right defensive end Calais Campbell, weak side linebacker Tyus Bowser, inside linebacker Josh Bynes, right inside linebacker Patrick Queen, strong side linebacker Jason Oway from Penn State. Cornerback Marcus Peters, strong safety they just drafted this year, got him penciled in as a starter, rookie Kyle Hamilton. Yeah, I might would go with Baltimore's
defense. I think you got to start that kid, man. That kid's a monster.
Free safety Marcus Williams, just got him from New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two really good safeties.
Yeah.
In Chuck Clark and Brandon Stevens, and they bring in two better safeties because now their starting safeties are both deaf now. They're both second teamers.
Mm-hmm.
At the other corner, you got Marlon Humphrey. I think their defensive coordinator, his name Mike McDonald, because he was at Michigan.
Yes, he was. He was on the lease program there. I don't want to point to collusion, but I think there was kind of an agreement from Harbaugh to Harbaugh that go get your defense right with him, and then we'll take him back.
Yeah, Big brother said, go ahead and use my guy to get your defense right, yeah, to get you guys to the college football playoffs. And then I'm going to take him back.
Yeah.
But, man, so what do you think about, since you, I think you probably got an idea about the schematics of how the defensive coordinator, you know, likes to play football. What are you expecting from Baltimore from the mind of the defensive coordinator?
Well, you know, he loves to play on the outside, play man, and be very rigid out there. So I think the way he's got, you know, Peters and Marlon Humphrey and those guys, I think they play right into his hands. He's got really good physical safeties, also high IQ guys again, which I think is great. Run stuffers in the middle of the defense. I really think kind of, you know, we went with the kind of unsung hero kind of theme or whatever. The Tyus Bowser, I think, is one of those guys that could have a breakout year. You know, I just kind of their Swiss Army knife, if you would, kind of move him around, let him roam a little bit. So I really think that they're going to have – Queen is obviously a stud. I think they have the best defense in our league, in our division.
No, I can certainly see why. I mean, and it's not a whole bunch of distance even between those 1 through 4 teams. There's not.
I expect them to have a top five if they stay healthy. Because remember, last year, no one in their defensive backfield stayed healthy.
Yeah, but nobody was healthy.
If they stay healthy, I expect them to be top 5 or 7 defense in the league.
I can see that looking more in depth at this roster, man. I mean, I'm looking at even some of the backups, man. I mean, so they're backups, just to name a few. They just drafted the kid Travis Jones out of UConn, nose tackle. Yep. We were seriously looking at him this year.
Picked up Brent Urban this past year.
He probably was a top 5 defensive lineman coming out of the college football draft this year. Mm-hmm. And then you know they made the move with your boy David Ojabo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll sit this year though. He's Achilles, I don't think they'll bring him back from Achilles early.
No, I don't think they will either. I'm just saying some of these names.
Oh yeah.
Then you got Malik Harrison. He's out of Ohio State. He was a rookie last year, middle linebacker.
Yeah.
The other outside linebacker behind Oweh is Dalen Hayes. He's out of Notre Dame. Like, he's a freakish athlete, like 6'5", 260. I liked him coming out of the draft, too, last year. Then, like I said, both their starting safeties last year are both now projected to be backups.
Yeah.
That's a lot of depth, man.
We can probably use one. We can probably use, Brandon Stevens. Would look good if Jesse Bates leaves, you know? I don't know.
So any potential pro bowlers on this defense to you?
Oh, yeah. It might be easier to say who's not a potential pro bowler, to be honest with you.
Let me tell you what I think. You tell me if you agree. And then if I leave somebody that you put on, you come back with them. I think Patrick Queen, definite middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. Marlon Humphrey, cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
If Marcus Peters comes back healthy, he's been a Pro Bowler before. He can't be again. And Marcus Williams, a safety out of from New Orleans.
Completely agree. I think Tyus Bowser could have a breakout Pro Bowl type year. I don't think that what they do on their base 3 is going to be getting after the quarterback and getting those kind of numbers. So I think they're more eating up blockers. I think they're going to be a solid front 3, but I don't think they're going to have Pro Bowlers from there. I'll tell you, the wild card is Kyle Hamilton. You know, being a rookie, you know, will he have rookie moments back there where he gets – from what I've seen on tape, I think he's going to play the ball right. You know, I think he's going to play the play right. But, man, he's going to be exciting to watch.
Wow, Gino, are we talking about defenses? Well,
here's the thing, and I get what he's saying. When you look at the depth on offense, I mean, there's any of these teams can drop 40 on you any given week. But, I mean, it's a tough go if they're healthy. You know, we had a lot of fun at their expense last year because they weren't healthy. So I suspect that they're going to right that ship and have some grudges to take care of.
Talking about the Ravens. Okay.
Yeah, the Ravens.
But, yeah, man, so – the nose tackle, Michael Pierce, is good. Calais Campbell, he's been a Pro Bowler before. I don't know. He's getting a little long in the tooth. I know he'll be solid.
He's still just such a mass of humanity. God, that's a big dude.
He's a very big man. Very big man. But yeah, man. So those are our thoughts on Baltimore's defense. Now we'll talk about something you probably know best. We'll talk about the Cincinnati Bengals defense, man. Looks like you guys run a base 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell us who the coordinator is and run down the projected starters and just give us your thoughts.
So Lou Anarumo, he's a guy, again, defensive back coach. He was in college at Marshall, Purdue, some small schools before that. Cut his teeth with the Dolphins. Actually had an intern defensive coordinator position there for a hot second. Went to the Giants and was actually in their last head coaching position, was actually brought in and interviewed for that position and was considered for it. He's a New Yorker in his heart. Like, he grew up a Giants fan, so he really kind of wanted that job, but we're lucky to have him. I think he's done a good job with us overall. And I like some of the moves we made in the draft. I wish we were in a situation, especially when you're talking about corners and a couple of these other players that we may end up playing a little sooner than I would like. I like those guys. Unless you're just a one-on-one cover guy on the outside, I'd like you to get your feet wet a little bit more. But I definitely see him taking us in the right direction compared to where we were, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Well, yeah, because he got there in 2019, obviously with Taylor, right?
Yeah. And we spent some money in free agency over those past, 3 years, which was unheard of. You know, the Von Bell signing, two guys from New Orleans, Von Bell first, and then last year with Trey Hendrickson. Like, those two guys bring in
Eli Apple was in New Orleans for a little bit too after the Giants.
He was hot second. But those, not only are they good players, they're great players. They bring that winning culture, and that
culture guys, yeah.
Yeah, culture guys, big culture guys. So I like them. I think our best players, Trey Hendrickson, I put Von Bell in that second tier. But I would say Trey Hendrickson. I really like our middle linebacker, Logan Wilson. He got injured at the end of the season last year. He's been our leading tackle.
They called a bad pass interference, called him in the Super Bowl too.
Yeah. So he played through some serious injuries, which I think is going to help him out getting that taken care of. Thanks for bringing that pass interference up at PI. Just good old memories for
that
me.
That had to be heartbreaking to you.
It hurt a little bit, yeah. And then, hometown guy and one of your Buckeyes, I'm going to give a shout-out, honorable mention, shout-out there to Sam Hubbard. He's kind of our motor guy, you know what I mean? Kind of that spiritual leader of that defense. So I like him. And then I think B.J. Hill will be a big part of what we're doing this year, keeping him healthy and getting him close to that 10 sack range. And Mike Hilton has been a great, again, culture guy from the Steelers and a really good slot corner. Really thought we got him on a good deal. But we got some serious wild cards. Jesse Bates, are we going to sign him? We franchise tagged him, and he's not happy. He's threatened not to play.
Was he still holding out?
He is, but like, he's working out. It's like a convoluted, one of those weird situations. Like, he's around, but I don't think he's 100% said he's going to play.
Jesse Bates is good. If he didn't want to play under the franchise tag,
he's good, but.
But don't you guys just slide Dax and Hill in there with Von Bell? You're still good.
We're still good. Von Bell's going to play the other side. I think we'll probably put Dax Hill in. Cam Taylor Britt has played corner and safety, so that gives us some flexibility there, especially in nickel situations. So I think we're good. And honestly, Jesse Bates, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, had his worst year last year in coverage. So, you know, it's a you come off your worst year in coverage as a safety, not being where you're supposed to be, not having as many pass defended and all those things, and now you're mad about playing on top five money. Like I don't know. It's I get he wants more years. Just if I was him, I would sign it and go forward. But that's me.
I don't think sitting out is an option for a lot of these players. I mean, but you know, now he wants to make a bag, man.
I don't think he's worth it. I mean, just flat out. I just don't think Jesse Bates is Minka Fitzpatrick.
I know he's not, but the market dictates what you get. So what if he gets around me? Minka got 18 and a half a year, 72 guaranteed. Does Jesse Bates get 18 a year, or is that still too much? Like,
I think it's too much. I think he's probably 13, 14 a year. I think that's what he's going to get offered by people. And I think he wants, you know, I think we're willing to give him a little bit more than that, but not as many years as he wants. So right. We'll see. And then, you know, I kind of touched on this as a parting shot last week. You know, we've got some pretty good rookies coming in and whatnot, but a guy that was hurt last year that I think out of Texas was a raw pass rusher that, you know, had learned the game late in his life. And I really think Joseph Mosai may be able to make some noise over opposite of Trey Hendrickson.
He's a Longhorn. That's one of my guys.
He's my big wild card. I mean, you know, it's
second year this year, right? Second year?
Yeah, second year. But he was hurt last year with a meniscus tear.
Okay, no. Like I said, that's one of your boy Moz guys, one of those hook 'em horns.
Yeah,
I'm sure he can probably tell us a lot about that. But no, so I mean, I find it interesting for it to be your team, but it is the Cincinnati Bengals that you have Eli Apple, Von Bell, Sam Hubbard all starting from Ohio State. That's that's a quarter of your starting lineup.
Well, I think it's, you know, Mike Brown is notoriously cheap. He probably looks at the moving expenses and says, hey, we just bring him here from Columbus, right down the street. Throw him in.
That could be a valid reason. But no, I think you guys have a good defense. Is BJ Hill the new acquisition this year?
No, he played last year. I think he might have been 9 sacks. He might have been around.
So where looking at the projected stars on the D-line, you got Hubbard, Hendrickson, Reeder, and BJ Hill. So where was Larry Ogunjobi on your line last year?
3 years, $30 million. We signed BJ Hill for. So they were rotating those guys in a lot. They rotated constantly, and he would play side by side with them. Okay. That's a great question. I have said this about our division. I think it's second toughest division in the AFC, and I don't think we actually will have any clue who's going to win it until week 10. Talk to me at week 10 and tell me who's out for the rest of the season, and I'll base my decision on that, because I think that there's 4 teams that have a chance to win this division, especially depending on what the Steelers get out of the quarterback position.
But so you said they had like a rotation. So Ogunjobi was rotating. Was he rotating on the end? Was he playing in the interior?
No, he was interior. Him and BJ Hill would rotate in and out for each other, or they would be. Almost all interior.
Okay, so you're looking for a nice 3-man rotation this year with Hubbard, Hendrickson, and Osai. Far as on your defensive ends,
Yeah. So I and Hubbard, we will push him inside too. That's something that we've done in the past. You know, DJ Reader, I could see them putting him in there. I could see Osai coming in and pass rush situations as a blitzer for an outside linebacker sub. So that's where I see him getting in there. He's not a starter, but I think he's got some potential to make some noise and make some really, really big plays.
What do you expect from Eli Apple this year? Because you guys brought him back, and they have him penciled in as a starter.
Yeah, I expect that he won't be starting halfway through the year. I expect. I really think that Cam Taylor-Britt will end up taking that position. That's my gut feeling. But you know, it's one of those things. You know, I think he's better than the other options we had. You know, he's a taller guy. He's physical, you know. But I think he is the weakest link on defense.
Okay. Well, yeah, man, the Bengals, I mean, nobody really, really super, super pops or flashes to me, but they got a really good defensive unit too, man. I mean, they won't be getting run over this year. I mean, I think they'll be, but I would argue they have the best offense in the division, so the defense doesn't have to be presenting pressure to be as good as some of the other defenses need to be, because they have the ability to put 26 to 30 on the board every week.
Yeah,
no matter who they're playing. So
yeah, I still think Trey Hendrickson. I honestly think Logan Wilson could, you know, break through. I think he could be a Pro Bowler. I think those two guys could be Pro Bowlers. And you never know. I mean, Von Bell has great years, so I mean, he's always one of those guys that could as well.
Right.
But it's not like going through the Ravens or the Steelers, or that's the reason why I have them fourth.
Okay. Makes sense to me, man. So now, before we transition, I want to say real quick, we're going to talk about the Steelers defense here, but I want to say we got quite a few people watching, like 34, 35 eyes on us. I only have 9 likes. So everybody watching, go ahead and hit that like button, man. Like this video. Now we'll go ahead and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'll talk about the Steelers. I think, man, like I told you, I had the Steelers defense ranked number one in our division rankings. I had them ranked number one. We run a 3-4 scheme. We have a new defensive coordinator this year, Terrell Austin. He's been around for about 3 or 4 years. Defensive special assistant and secondary coach has been his title before this year, replacing Keith Butler. And I like that. I like that. I don't know what Terrell Austin will bring. I don't think any of us know what he's going to do yet. Our base is 3-4, but, you know, we play a lot out of sub packages. Yeah, that's just football today, right? So Terrell Austin, the addition of Brian Flores onto our coaching staff. He's now the outside linebackers coach, replacing Keith Butler in that position. Keith Butler was also the former defensive coordinator. And he's a special defensive assistant. So he's replacing Keith Butler at outside linebackers and replacing Terrell Austin, who got promoted to defensive coordinator, as special defensive assistant. And then, you know, Mike Thomas is a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. So I like that mesh of minds in a defensive room, talking schematics, talking strategy, talking what to do. I don't know what we'll get, but I'd like the guys that are putting that plan together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Far as the projections go, this is ESPN projections, like I said. Already see some things I disagree with, but I'll just share what they have. You know, we run a 3-4, so the three defensive linemen are Chris Wormley, Ogunjobi and Cam Hayward. Obviously, you know, we have T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith on the edges with Devin Bush and Miles Jack in the middle. Akello Witherspoon and Levi Wallace are penciled in at the projected starting corners. And you got Terrell Edmonds and Micah Fitzpatrick at safety. So just right off the bat, they have Larry Ogunjobi starting in nose tackle. I think in the 3-4, I think Tyson Alualu still starts. He's coming back from injury. He should be fresh. He's 34 coming back from an ankle injury, high ankle sprain last year. But he's a nose tackle, right? I mean, it's not like you're asking him to cover anybody, to, you know, get out on the edges and things like that. You want him stuff in the middle.
Well, that might be a first, second down versus a third down option.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that. I think he'll play the early downs, the run downs.
Yeah.
And I got Ogunjobi starting at left defensive end and not Chris Wormley. Wormley's one of your Michigan guys. I like Wormley, but I think Ogunjobi's just a little higher pedigree. So I got him and Cam Hayward on the defensive ends. I got Alualu in a nose tackle. And then on those passing downs, I think the Steelers bring in Montrevious Adams and put him in a nose tackle that they can give a pass rush from the nose position. So I like that. I don't have any problems with everybody else they picked to start is who I would pick to start. Obviously, T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith. I'm expecting a big year from Alex Highsmith this year. And when I say big year, I'm talking probably he's going to hit double-digit sacks this year, I think. I think he should be able to get 10 sacks. Then you got Devin Bush and Miles Jack in the middle. I think Miles Jack in this defense can have his first Pro Bowl year. He was a stud coming out of UCLA, spent his first 5 years in Jacksonville. I always like Miles Jack, and I think in this Steeler defense, he's going to be free to do some of the things that's going to allow him to pop. And, you know, you really see him when you sit down and watch the game and see him flying, making plays all over the field. That's what I'm expecting from him. And the same thing from Devin Bush. I'm expecting a healthy Devin Bush coming back this year is going to be an impact player. The Steelers didn't pick up his fifth-year option. So, you know, he's playing for a contract next year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think regardless of what he does, he could not – if he doesn't do well, he might won't be back in Pittsburgh. But somebody will still pick him up and give him at least one more chance. But I think he's going to be really good in Pittsburgh this year. I was listening to the Arthur Motes podcast, the Arthur Motes and Deke podcast, and Vince Williams was a guest on there last week. And he thinks the same thing about Devin Bush. You know, he kind of was the vet in the room when Devin Bush's rookie year. He said Devin just has to play football. We're all expecting he's going to come back with the ACL fully healed, a year stronger. He can do a lot more, you know, because I think this time last summer they were watching his reps. He was worried about rehabilitating and not necessarily just playing football, right?
Well, and then he posted some weird stuff on social media, and he started just getting chastised in local media here, and things kind of ballooned from there. You accompany some bad decision making from a young player with in regards to social media and stuff, and then you accompany that with coming back from reconstructing a knee. You don't expect him the first season back to be the player he at his highest ceiling. You know what I mean?
The social media stuff, that was unnecessary. He did that to unnecessary. I mean, it wasn't as big a deal as I think some people made it. I mean, I believe it was a tweet about a cat jumping out of a window out of a apartment building, kind of hot from high stories up. And it was not good. It's sick.
It's insensitive.
It's definitely
and goofy.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree with all those things. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a 22-year-old kid. I think of some of the stuff I did when I was 22, 23 years old that, you know. So, you know,
thank God there weren't cameras when we were that age.
Exactly.
In everybody's hand.
Exactly. You got to. So I mean, it's all about perspective. But yeah, he could have definitely did without it though.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting him to have a comeback season. In our secondary, Minka, I think Minka's going to be better as a playmaker because last year he led the teams. He had the most tackles by a Steelers secondary player in team history. That's Troy Polamalu. That's Mel Blunt. That's Donnie Shell. Those are all Hall of Famers. Rod Woodson, any secondary player ever in Steelers history, most tackles. So that kind of took away from his playmaking because we had injuries up front. Devin Bush not playing well. Stephon Tuitt being out. Alualu being out after the first game. And, you know, so those guys, teams just ran on us. And Minka had to make a lot of tackles. That's why his tackles were so high. I like Terrell Edmonds coming back. I believe it provides a certain amount of just consistency in the defense. He has a rapport with Minka. You know, you want to have that kind of – I can't think of the word I'm thinking of, but I'm glad to have Terrell Edmonds back. We know we got Minka back. Continuity. That's – yeah, I said consistent continuity. That's exactly what I was thinking of. And we got two new starting corners. Akello Witherspoon started a little bit last year. I really like Akello. He seems like he's ready and real confident to be a number one guy this year. 6'2", 200, you know, he's really he has good pedigree, good feel. He played college ball at Colorado. I believe they picked the third round. The 49ers picked him. I think getting with Terrell Austin, who's a secondary coach, a secondary guru, has benefited Akello Witherspoon too. So I really like him a lot. I think he can we're hoping that he transitions into a number one corner, you know. Then on the other side, we got Levi Wallace. We got him from Buffalo. He was their second corner behind Tre'Davious White, or another side of Tre'Davious White. And I really like his acquisition. He played at Alabama. I think he'll be good. He's replacing Joe Hayden. And then in the slot, because I think we'll run a lot of nickel package, a lot of, you know, sub-package football. I like Cam Sutton in the slot, where he played on the outside last year, but he's always been better at the slot. And I think with two longer, lanky corners on the outside, you put Cam Sutton in the slot. You do a lot of different stuff out the slot. You can bring in DeMonte KZ, the safety that we picked up from Dallas, played at Dallas last year and played in Atlanta previously. He's led the league in interceptions before. He's kind of just a chess piece playmaker. I like him a lot. And we also have the guy that I don't like as much as slot is what's the kid's name from the Jets? You don't know. Why am I asking you?
I'm looking. Cam Sutton?
Not Cam Sutton. Arthur Millett. Yeah, he's another nickel guy. He's actually our replacement for Mike Hilton. He brings that Mike Hilton kind of flavor if you want to cook with that kind of seasoning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's that guy. He's a physical corner. He can flip well, but he's not a good cover guy. Yeah, I've seen him get. I think about that game against Chicago last year where the Bears about came back, Justin Fields and the Bears, and Arthur Millett was taking a lot of the getting beat from the secondary standpoint.
So let me ask you this question about your Steelers: best pickup this offseason in free agency, do you think it's Miles Jack, Larry Ogunjobi, or Brian Flores?
Ooh. I mean, that's like 1A, 1B, 1C.
I would
probably have to go with Flores, man.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
You
look at Ogunjobi because it was one of the questions over here. He had 7 sacks with the Bengals last year. That's career high. Will you talk again about somebody having T.J. Watt's motor? He doesn't have that. Does he have some physical traits that are great? Yeah. And that's the reason why he's went from one team to another to another to another is because he doesn't live up to his physical traits on enough snaps.
Right.
But I think he'll come. He did the same thing for us last year. He made some really great plays in really big spots because he has the ability to turn that on.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I mean, so yeah, but Brian Flores will have his hands in the schematic aspect of the defense. I think he's already proven, the players have said, he's a great teacher at OTAs. So, you know, just getting his feet wet there with some of the players. But I mean, then I would probably go Ogunjobi third. I would take Miles Jack second. I mean, I think Miles Jack is a Pro Bowler waiting to happen. So yeah, I like the Steelers defense. I think we can be a top five defense if everything comes together with the different voice in the lead in the room as far as Terrell Austin. Real quick, what happened with Terrell Austin with Cincinnati?
What do you mean what happened?
He was you guys' defensive coordinator for a year or two. This was before he came to the Steelers. This might have been about 17, 18 maybe.
Yeah, and then we changed coaches, right?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he left when we changed coaches.
Okay. But, yeah, so the Steelers defense, really like it. Top five in the league, I think, if they're healthy.
And here's the other thing, honestly. With our history of coaching and who knows, it could have been the year before we changed coaches and you know, Mike Brown could have said, you know, either change your staff over or you're gone to Marvin Lewis. Right. Who knows? I mean, that could have happened too.
Yeah, you guys didn't make it work with Dick LeBeau even.
Yeah.
Which is fine because he came back to Pittsburgh. That's great.
Yeah. I got nothing now.
But, yeah, so potential Pro Bowlers in the squad, I see, obviously – the obvious, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick. They've all been Pro Bowlers and All Pros before. And I got Miles Jack as my Pro Bowl sleeper. I like Miles Jack a lot, man. So that's my thoughts on the Steelers. Before we get out of here, what are your thoughts on the Steelers? Do you any thoughts you want to add? Anything? We just got in an hour, so about time for us to get out of here.
You know, I think the wild card on there, I'm Highsmith, Witherspoon. I think those guys, again, that's – can you get 15 sacks out of those two guys together? That's my biggest question there. I don't know.
With Witherspoon's a corner, you don't mean him. Not for sacks.
Wait.
Highsmith and who?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you out of Highsmith and Avery.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah, I think maybe 12 to 15. Like I said, I got Alex getting 10, and if you, anything you get from Avery, 5 sacks would be great. Coming in at a depth position substitution, you know, so.
Anytime I'm looking at a guy on a defense that I know is going to give me a sack a game, I feel on the end as an edge rusher, I feel like the other edge rushers with that person, you know, is going to get double teamed, you know, is going to get chipped. I think they should come close to a sack a game. I have the same problem with Dustin Hendrickson. I got the same problem with the Browns and Garrett. I got the same problem with Steelers. I think the team that does that out of those three defenses are going to separate themselves.
Makes sense. Like I said, I'm expecting Highsmith to do it this year, but then hard to double anybody on the Steelers. I mean, obviously you probably double TJ, but then you got Cam Hayward, and you got Alex Highsmith who's going to come into his own, I think, with picking up Ogunjobi. You know, you got your boy Wormley had 7 sacks last year. I think 4 or 5 of them was against his old team in Baltimore, but he had 7 sacks last year. I mean, so the thing still, the defense is going to be really good. But, yeah, man, so before we get out of here, just thanks to everybody in the live chat for listening. Be sure to check out these other broadcasts that come on the BTSC network. You know, I appreciate all the guys on the BTSC staff. I talked to the homie Jeff Hartman this week for the first time. I talked to him. It was good communicating with him. I've always dealt with Brian Anthony Davis and talked to Dave Schofield before and been on with Shannon White and Michael Beck before and Jeffrey Benedict. But my first time talking to Jeff. It's good talking to Jeff. But B Dirk, man, what do you have to say before we get out of here? Any thoughts?
My closing remarks, I'm just going to – Trevor chimed in earlier and asked my remarks about Kenny Pickett.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And I'll close with those. I think he's a very bright kid. I think he's a very accurate passer. I think he's got a bright future. The one knock I think he had coming out of college is he gets a little bit happy feet when the pocket comes around him. He likes to come up in it too fast. I don't think you want to do that in the NFL. So, you know, I think we've addressed this before in earlier podcasts where I hope they start Mitch Trubisky and kind of bring him along down the road. Even though I know he's a very mature rookie, I think just seeing that speed and seeing when people come up the edge, if you step up too soon and they can get off that block, they are going to crush you. Right. I think he needs to stop with that. Plus, those lead – if you step it up too aggressively, those lead to high throws as well, which normally are picked off in this league.
No, I don't I don't disagree. What are you doing? Quick
thoughts. But I think long-term, I think Pro Bowler probably.
Quick thoughts on Pittsburgh Panthers' very own LeSean McCoy saying he sees Joe Burrow and Kenny Pickett.
Both of them had undersized hands. I can tell you that.
Well, I think the plight, the track they both came into the NFL on are kind of similar. Yeah.
They're but both Joe a little Burrow, bit older.
Joe Burrow won a Heisman, won national championship and did in the SEC. Kenny Pickett won the ACC, finished third in the Heisman, but played in the ACC. So, you know, I mean, obviously not Joe Burrow. I can see some of the comparisons. You know, but not like he's no Joe Burrow as of yet. Maybe 2-3 years we might compare him, but we got to see first. But, yeah, B Dirt, so we're going to get out of here, man. Once again, man, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate having you here, man, talking from a Bengals perspective. And, you know, it's another set of eyes that how you perceive the AFC North, man. So we certainly appreciate it, man. Gene said, good show all. Thanks, Gene. We appreciate it, man. So, yeah, man, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Until next week, be sure to check out tomorrow. You'll have the Let's Ride, Jeff Hartman's podcast on audio only tomorrow evening. You'll have Brian Anthony Davis and the guys for the hangover. So let's just be sure to check both those out tomorrow. Anything else Steeler related, you want to know, come right here. Who is
happy
that, man?
Happy 4th of July.
Who is that? That's
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Yeah, okay. Stripes, my dude. But yeah, man, so you guys have a good one. Here we go, Steelers. Peace.